It's Tuesday, March 17th, 2015, and you're listening to episode 364 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 44 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Pat.
This is Wayne.
My name's Chad.
And this is Chris.
Who?
Yeah.
He's a new member. We're introducing a new host today. His name's Chris Hussey. He wrote some Battletech stuff. He wrote one of Don's favorite role-playing game books, by the way.
Hey, really great to be here. Hey, and you know what? Don actually has, speaking of that, she has the exclusive, never-published actual second edition of that book.
Yes.
The version that was written, and then by the time they got around to publishing the second edition, things had changed so much they had to change the direction and content of the book. Mm-hmm. So she has a rare, rare item that's worth at least a quarter.
And a quarter? Wow. I thought it was more like 30 cents, but yeah, quarter.
You could kill a bug with that thing.
You could.
It's worth at least a quarter.
That's true.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Actually, it is kind of awesome. I actually really enjoyed writing that. And the content that's in there, I was actually very proud of. And I was sad to see that a lot of it didn't make it into the final version. But what are you going to do?
You know what content we're proud of? Sojourn 2. Go buy it.
Wow.
Yes, go buy it.
A smooth segue there, Wayne.
If you want to kill a bug.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I got the copyright.
You could kill a baby with that.
I got the copyright. And it's going to kill
I mean, maybe that shouldn't be a selling point as you can kill a baby with our book. But
I wouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
We'll
could you stop a bullet with it?
Depends on the bullet.
A 22, maybe.
Yeah, 22.
22 short probably would be stopped.
A 9mm at a long range would...
At a long range, maybe. I wouldn't test it.
No.
We're not saying buying this book will save your life.
No.
But
we've seen enough television shows where, you know, the guy is saved by, you know, either the cross or the cigarette case in his pocket. This is a lot thicker than that.
Yeah.
Now, it's only made of paper.
And life is not a movie.
But let me tell you something. Did that happen, Wayne? See? Yeah. That's some heavy. That's heavy stock.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not sitting next to you and I'm not a baby.
Okay, so hold on a second. So one time I did see a video online where somebody had actually taken a hero rule book. Okay,
yes.
And those are thick ass books. Mm-hmm. And they had to see if it could actually stop a bullet. So there is a video on YouTube on
it
that.
Does
I
want
to see somebody take a Sojourn, copy of Sojourn, to see exactly what caliber of bullet it will stop. And if somebody actually posts that, I will give them something.
You know, booters and shooters is a thing that happens at Fear the Con. Where a bunch of booters come out and I haven't done it, but they go out to a range and then they blow stuff up with guns and they have
So what you're saying is that at Fear the Con 8...
Uh-huh. Oh, I see
should,
another smooth segue.
They should use copies of Sojourn as their targets.
No,
so they have to buy more.
They have to buy more.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
They'll use their one that they bought as targets and they're like, oh, I didn't finish reading it. And now it's all full of holes.
Right. Yes.
Not the stories.
Not the normal plot holes that are
bullet
holes.
The book itself is full of holes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Swiss book.
Yeah.
I want to see the bullet take a sojourn through the book.
We're not going to go there too much.
No.
Anyway, Fear the Con 8, there's going to be a Kickstarter for that at some point in the future. We're not sure when. By the time this episode airs, Fear the Con 8 may have already happened. So... Yay!
Chad, that was a really good event you ran.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I actually was kicking around an idea for an event that is completely ripping off the guys over at Happy Jack. You know, basically they ran a game where everybody was a different Harrison Ford character. So I was thinking of doing that with either Bruce Willis or with Nicolas Cage.
I would want to be the Harrison Ford out of that one movie that didn't do too well that he was in. I don't remember the name of it, but he's like a cop or something. But the entire movie is sold on the scene in the previews where he is behind the one-way mirror and he's like hip thrusting at the mirror.
Is it maybe Face Off?
No, it's not Face Off.
No, Face Off was Nicolas Cage and John Travolta.
John Travolta. And John Woo directed. No, and I don't remember what the name of it was, and it's kind of lost to history now. I'm sure that somebody will listen to it like, oh, it's my favorite movie. But yeah, I just want to be hip thrusting Harrison Ford in this game. And that's my only action. That's the only thing I can do. They're like, Chad, the guard, they're going to kill your friend and they're going to destroy the earth. What do you do, Harrison Ford? I hip thrust.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't even roll. I LARP it out.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, that's the only way to go.
You too.
Well, you're LARPing it here as you record.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm hip thrusting Harrison Ford.
That's all kinds of wrong.
Uh-huh. We're all kinds of right. Don't judge me.
So we're going to try. Chad has come up with a new thing. It's the new shiny of the week. We have a new segment that we're going to try out on Fear the Boot.
We do segments?
We do now.
Yeah, well, this is our first mate.
Hey, it's my show.
Hey, you know, way back in the day, Tim was going to have a review segment. That's where he reviewed Tolis, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd review porn.
Yeah. That was our first, last, and only review, although
not
I'm sure we've done other
got
reviews.
Got sent to the mailbox.
Well, he's actually probably still in the process of reading Tolis just because it's such a massive tome.
Well,
he's
I hope so. With the amount of yet. Money that you have to spend on that thing, I hope that it's rather long and weighty.
So our new segment is, drum roll please, Fear the Boot tells you how to play.
That's right.
And with this week, our debut episode,
yes.
Our debut segment is going to be the superhero edition.
Yeah.
Fear the Boot tells you how to play a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
With us today is Wayne, our resident comic book expert geek slash
encyclopedic savant.
Brown. Yes.
You can just say loser.
No, I wouldn't.
No.
You're like the popular faddish
you're
guy.
The people you're the person that everyone goes to when they want to talk about the next Marvel movie,
right?
You're the one that goes to.
My 8-year-old son has been instructed by his mother, when you have a question about the new 52 because you're playing it on your tablet, go ask Wayne.
Yeah.
And he has done so.
Yeah. Wayne's the guy you go to when you don't know anything about comics. You see a Marvel movie and there's a guy in three frames for a half second who has blue hair that flashes across the scene, and you're like, is that guy with blue hair? Is he in the comic books? And Wayne's like, he had an entire run from 1968 to 1972. His character was blah, 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 and he was written by blah, 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 blah.
I did the exact same thing just the other day. I saw the movie posters for The Age of Ultron, and there was this strange guy floating up in the corner, and I'm like, I have no idea who this is.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Wayne, who's that strange guy floating up in the corner? And you said,
I don't remember.
Bam.
Damn.
Can you tell we're not scripted and don't rehearse?
I love it.
Yes.
Yeah, that only works if you have a poster in front that you're pointing
at. Well, I think you see it's Vision. It's the, you know, they've got Vision on the poster. Yeah. Anyway. So the reason this has come about is that we have just started playing a superhero game in our Sunday group.
Yeah.
We just sort of had the first run of it on Sunday, and we sort of got halfway into it because we had illness issues.
We were gaming at Plague House.
Yeah, Plague House.
So, but
at least it wasn't Charnel House.
Jeez. Yeah, well, you know, that's later anyway.
That was when we were playing Monster Hearts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chad, since you brought this up, the first question that immediately pops to mind is, what kind of superhero are you talking about? Are we talking noir? Are we talking Golden Age? Are you talking Silver Age?
This is why
Modern Age.
See, right here. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah, this is why we broke him out of his, you know, his jar that we keep him preserved in.
Yeah, I mean,
he still has a gimp mask on, but
are you looking
that's
for
only
like
for our safety?
Are you looking for like, you know, four color characters or grim dark, the anti-hero or the hero?
Yeah, are you looking for Rob Liefeld? You know, no feet, all pouches and
nobody's
guns?
Looking for that.
No, no one is. I don't know, superheroes. You know,
it's not that simple, and you can't mix and match too much. If you have like a four color prone, that's a you know, good, I don't kill anybody.
What do you mean four color? You mean like Power Rangers or like Lantern, Green Lanterns? Are they all different colors?
When comics originally started coming out, there was a limited number of colors they had to work with. So some of the older series are, they call them four colors because there's basically every color is made off of one of those four colors.
Right.
So there's very limited palette that they could do. So that's why you have a lot of those reds and blues. And if you look at a lot of the early heroes, that's their color palette.
Yeah.
You know, like Superman, Spider-Man, kind of a similar color thing.
And Batman was blue. He wasn't black. He was blue and yellow.
So if you take a character like one of those that is the the paragon of goodness that will not kill.
Yeah.
And you put it in a game with the Punisher.
Right, right. What's he going to do? He's going to turn around. He's going to... Well, I was going to say he's going to punch the Punisher. He's going to thwack him and turn him over to the police and get a key from the mayor.
And it can work in a game, but...
Yeah, you got to play that game.
If you have a whole big group with a lot of mix right. and matching and a lot of things that don't really go together, it's like, do you take a character like a Spider-Man that's kind of a energetic, happy-go-lucky and mix him with a noir character... Where basically everything has gone bad for this person.
Yeah.
Those don't necessarily...
Well, everything's gone bad for Peter Parker. He just
True.
Has a stiff upper lip and jokes about it.
Right.
He's just dying on the inside. So you would say that that's the first step into creating a superhero character.
Yeah, it's decide where on that spectrum you're going to lie. Okay. There's not a wrong answer for it. They're all... You can do great stories with everything on there. But that's the first thing you need to decide.
Except for the Rob Liefeld one. You can't do really anything. That's pretty irredeemable. You can't do anything with that.
Yeah. Or at least you have to fly because the feet just will not support those muscles. Yeah.
That's true.
That's the first step, is to decide what type of superhero you want to play. Mm-hmm. And what type does everyone that you're playing with going to play? Yeah,
because that's the important thing.
Because they have to kind of line up.
Yeah. You can't play Biff Sacco Batman with... Grim, dark, my parents are dead, Batman. Thematically, it just kind of doesn't work.
It might be fun for a one-shot, but in a long-term campaign...
Well, I don't know. I mean, you look at, like, the Justice League. Justice League has, depending on the story and the age and stuff, you can have a darker Batman, and you can have Superman with a lot of problems, and then you have...
But you know what they both have in common?
What's that?
They don't kill.
That's true.
That's the line. Hmm. You don't have a Punisher... type character with a Superman character or with a Batman character. Batman wouldn't put up with him.
Yeah.
Because Batman doesn't kill.
Yeah. Because vigilantism is against the law.
Oh my.
Okay. What else goes into making a good superhero character? How would you play a superhero character right?
Well, I think one of the problems I've seen in the past with a lot of superhero characters are people design the character around the powers.
Uh-huh.
And that's not the character. That's what the character can do. You've still got to have a personality. You've got to have a reason for what you're doing, motivation, supporting characters, all of that.
How important are the supporting characters? Like, is it okay to make a character that's just out there by himself? I mean, sure, there's going to be a group, but we'll say that the group gelling kind of comes later. Do you need like an Aunt May or an Alfred or someone like that to make a good superhero character?
You don't need it. But it can really help flesh it out.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't need it when the game starts. So in the Knights of Rainsborough game that I play online, my character didn't have anybody early on. He couldn't keep a girlfriend, couldn't keep any of that. And then he meets an NPC during our first story arc. And that becomes his best friend. And that's my supporting cast. It came organically out of the gameplay.
Right. Well, and if you're playing a character that's like, I'm grim, I'm dark, I'm Batman... You know, my parents are dead. I don't make friends because I have to fight evil all the time. Well, you are playing in a role-playing game.
I have to do this alone, except for Nightwing and Robin and Batgirl.
Uh-huh.
And Alfred. And Alfred.
And then the guy who makes all this stuff and Barbara Gordon and you know.
It's actually an ongoing trope with Batman of he'll put together the family will fall apart. He'll put together the family will fall apart. He's either doing things on his own or he has an army of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there doesn't seem to be much in between.
What I was trying to say, too, is that you're playing a role-playing game. You know, it's like, let's pull out for a minute and go into the meta. If you play this lone, dark, grim Avenger who can only ever work alone, why are you in a role-playing game with other people? You know, it's like you have these other superheroes that you have to work with, yet you're building into your character, you can only work alone. You can do interesting things with that. You could say, well, he only works alone, but the group is trying to reel him in back to reality. They're trying to, he's on the edge and they're trying to pull him back in. And as a player, you have to, that hook's baited. You have to bite on that hook and let them reel you back in.
The character needs a motivation for being part of the group. And this goes for any type of game and any character. Maybe the motivation isn't that he wants to hang out with these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's a character that doesn't trust them.
Yeah.
So he's keeping the people he doesn't trust close. I mean,
look at Rorschach in Watchmen. That's a perfect example. I mean, the guy is a nut. He's an absolute nut. and he's a loner and he hurts people and he goes to lengths that the others would find questionable at best. But him and the owl started working together. They had cross purposes. They were going after the same crime families or gangs or whatever. And then they started working together and they started forming a relationship where they liked each other. And then the owl brought him in to the bigger group where they said, hey, you know, you guys are trying to make this group. Rorschach and I were working together and we did a lot of good together. So maybe we need to sort of expand this and we can do a lot more good together. That might be a path that you can take as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've seen in games I've played in that have superheroes where I think it's fallen apart is when people forget what their core concept was for the character. Mm. So that was something when we did Knights of Rainsboro, we actually picked in the beginning, we defined this is our core concept for the character. Mm-hmm. And it was everything can change about the character, but this is the one thing that's true about them.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of descriptions early on of I'm the epitome of the good guy. But then when it comes down to it, it's a role-playing game and people start killing.
Right.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
And if it's a superhero that kills, that's not a problem. But if it's one where you picked it out where it doesn't, and then somebody in the group starts killing people, the group can't just ignore it.
You're right. Well, what if you're playing a game where thematically it's the old Adam West Batman? Nobody should be dying in that. Nobody should. But then you have a character or a player who he's going through and he's playing the Punisher. He's like, all right, you know, okay, good buddy, let's take these thugs into the, you know, into the police so they can serve their time and rehabilitate into good citizens. And then you have Punisher pulling out a .45 and killing him execution style. And it's like,
I've got a better idea.
One thing in stories that I've seen work thematically is when you have a team of people that don't kill, but you have the one character that does.
Yeah.
And everyone acknowledges they know that this person is a killer. Mm-hmm. They know that this person is willing to do what they're not willing to do.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those, yes, everyone realizes it. No one's going to say it out loud. Mm-hmm. No one's going to watch while it happens, but...
Yeah. But that should come to a head. That should come out eventually, I would think. Switching gears a little bit here, what do you think about the visual element of the superhero of creating that? You know, we talk about heroes, we think a lot about flashy costumes and the comic book aspect of it. But then we also talk about Punisher, who, I mean, he's a guy who can roll around in blue jeans and a t-shirt and just be fine.
Yeah, I think a lot of that defines the character, too. The costume is very important for me when I'm trying to figure out a superhero. If it's somebody like, if it's in a noir game where it's somebody in a trench coat and a hat, that says something. If it's somebody that's in a bright blue jumpsuit, that says something else.
Yeah, it does.
So, I mean, normally, I am not the type of person that usually goes out and finds images or tries to put together what my characters look like. I'll do some description, but that's not key to me in any other game, except for a superhero game. For me, I actually figure out what the costume looks like.
Yeah.
And I go as far as there's a couple of websites online you can go to that'll let you create superheroes and you can basically mix and match parts and come up with what a costume looks like. It's never exactly what you have in your mind.
Right.
But it's enough that you can kind of help visualize it. I used to use City of Heroes when it was around. Their character creator was great.
Yeah.
I would create characters, screenshot them, and then just delete them because I didn't actually want to play them. I just wanted the character creator part.
What's your opinion on sidekicks, be it an NPC sidekick for a hero or maybe one of the other players playing a sidekick?
I have never seen anyone do it in game. I want to. I want to see how it would work in game, but I've never seen anyone do a sidekick in game.
I mean, are you talking about having another player at the table play the sidekick?
Either one. I could see an NPC as a sidekick or having another player be a sidekick. I mean, you know, Wayne's playing Batman, I'm playing Robin. Is that going to be fun for me? Is it going to be fun for him? How do we handle that sort of thing?
That would be tough. You'd have to really have a good conversation beforehand. And the person playing the sidekick cast, you know, would really have to go in there knowing that may not get the spotlight at all unless you happen to be captured.
What do you mean happened? You know, maybe.
You know, I was thinking about, like, okay, so Wayne is Batman and I'm Robin. What conversation would Wayne and I have? I would have to set some ground rules, but what ground rules would I set? I think that everything would be pretty cool because it would all be that I want to role play it out. You know, if there's an uncomfortable situation, I want to role play that out. I want to deal with that. But then when you said, yeah, well, you'd be captured all the time and that's your spotlight, it's like, oh, okay, there's a ground rule I would set. I don't want to be the screaming damsel in distress tied up to a post while Wayne rescues me every
Chad the
week.
Boy hostage.
That's yeah. right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
Chad, yeah. your costume is going to be red, yellow, and green, and I'm going to be all black.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things you'd have to work.
Target boy.
Yes. You would have to work out with the person. What is the hero sidekick relationship? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it a drill sergeant trying to train him to be the best he can be? Mm-hmm. Or is it a even more friendly? Is it a family thing?
Yeah. Do I look at the character as a father figure? If I say that, I'm like, do I really want to role play that out? Because that isn't something that interests me. So, yeah, I think that that would be. I think it's totally viable to do. But, yeah, you'd really have to think it out. Like, why are you doing this? What are you wanting to get out of it? Where are you going with it? What is the relationship like?
Yeah. You know, a sidekick character could be potentially a good character for, like, a newer player to play.
Yeah.
Like, if you're new to playing, you could be the sidekick to a veteran PC.
Well, you know, there was a concept that they did, I think it was in Crimson Skies, where, and granted, this was more the tabletop war game, but they had the concept of the wingman. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you had your main guy, but you always had your wingman who was basically there with you. And he was essentially, you controlled him. He was a sub-character. He didn't have nearly as, you know, much influence on the game, but he was always there either soak up some damage or to use something that you could use when you got into those tight situations. And you know, you could kind of translate that concept, I think, a little bit into a tabletop thing where, you know, the sidekick does offer some assistance, you know, almost, it's almost like a familiar in a certain sense.
See, I would look at a sidekick mostly as an NPC. That would be how I would most, you know, think of it normally if it's not a player character, is it would just be an NPC that is generally fond of you and does what you say, or maybe that's not how you design him.
Maybe he's afraid of you.
Or yeah, maybe they're afraid. Or maybe you have the sidekick that's hit their teens that is rebelling.
Yeah, the Red Arrow.
Yeah, as you've raised them up and now they want to go off on their own and do this by themselves.
You know, that would be an awesome. I would love to play a long-running superhero campaign where one of the other players starts out as I'm the young sidekick who looks up to you, and then we do an adventure or whatever. We do a time skip, and then he's the rebellious teenage sidekick who's trying to strike out his own. And then we do an adventure, and then we do a time skip, and then he's his own hero trying to make his way in the world, like a Nightwing or something like that. That I think that would be a pretty awesome thing. And then my character, the hero, just keeps getting older and older and older. And then there's this sort of new guard. That would be an awesome game to play. I'd love that.
That actually sounds kind of fun.
I'd love to do a team of all sidekicks, like a Teen Titans type thing, where they get together on the weekends to socialize. That actually is one of the setups for one of the Teen Titans series, is that the heroes send their sidekicks on the weekends off to Titans Tower so they can operate together on their own, learn from each other, and socialize with other teenage superheroes. Huh. Yeah. And that was a whole setup for one of the runs.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, do we have anything else to say on this?
Don't screw it. Now that you know how to do it, don't screw
it
up.
Yeah. We have told you.
Go out and play them if you can find the time.
Yes.
Find the time.
Finding the time. So schedules suck.
Yes.
I have to say that is something that has gotten very frustrating for me in the last few years. Mm-hmm. When I first started gaming, everyone is kind of early in their career and our weekends are our weekends. Yeah. They're completely free. You know, our weeknights are our weeknights. And it was never a problem. It was a set schedule of we are gaming every Sunday at this time. Mm-hmm. Basically, as we've all gotten older, advanced in our careers, had kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly, scheduling is becoming a nightmare. It's like we have our scheduled week games, but things come up. And my online group is even worse because we are all a batch of people fairly high up in our career at this point, to where a weeknight, you never know who's going to be able to be there or not. Is this a common thing for groups?
I have found that our group, because we game on Sundays, right? And I have found that we do fairly well. Now, the past couple we had Plague House, and you can't help that. Nobody can help that. Somebody was out the previous week, but we are, I think that we are pretty good and pretty consistent.
We'll have a 6 to 8 month run where we're
solid.
And then when something hits,
like Christmas.
Yeah. When something hits, it'll be a big one. A lot of things in a row. And right now it's with the weather being the way it is, we're all getting sick.
Weather does not cause illness. The best way.
No, we're just getting sick of each other.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Sick of your face. Mm-hmm. But I think the best defense against this is a consistent schedule. You game on the same day, at the same time, at the same place. And then you have to defend that time. Early on, when we set this up, that's what I had to do. I mean, I really had to protect this time. I had family, I had friends who's, oh, well, let go do this thing. It's like, no, I'm sorry, I'm gaming. Oh, you can skip that, blah, blah, blah. And I will tell you, at least in my experience, if you have that consistent time that's the same time. Now, we do a weekly game. Not everybody can do weekly. Maybe you have the same time monthly or quarterly or yearly. You know, whatever it takes. People in your life will suddenly start figuring out that they can't schedule things with you then. That is your time. That's what you're doing. I mean, my dad, he doesn't game at all. My dad's not nerdy. He plays golf. He watches sports. I get nerds do too. People give me shit about that. He does nothing nerdy at all. But he watched West Wing. No. I'm sorry. Not West Wing. It was the 24. Kiefer's 24. 24. He watched 24, and that was his show. And the phone, he would be watching it. He'd tell everybody in the house, shut up. Well, it was just his wife. They'd tell him to shut up, leave him alone, don't even come in the room. Don't even want to hear it. 24 is on because he can't figure out TiVo or anything like that. And people would call him and he would pick up the phone and he'd say, I'm watching 24. He wouldn't even say hello. He wouldn't even say, oh, hey, Bob. Yeah, no, I'm my show's on. He would say, I'm watching 24. Click and hang up on your ass. He did this. And you know what? People stopped calling him. Maybe in general, but they definitely stopped calling him when 24 was on. They figured it out. So, yeah, if you're having a hard time scheduling, the first step, the most important step, is consistency. Same time, same place, same day, be that week, month, year, quarter, whatever. And people will learn and defend that time.
Which is a lot easier to do with family than it is when work. With things that pop up.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that really hits my online group is we game on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And
isn't everybody like an IT professional or something?
There's IT professional, there's medical professional.
Oh.
And there's other things on those lines. So
everybody has a pager.
Yeah. So it is very common for we'll be set all the way up until Thursday midday and then something will happen. So one thing I've been thinking about doing is putting together some one shots.
Yeah,
because usually we'll have a subset of people. It'll just be the guy that's running the game will be the one that's not able to show up. So I was thinking if I put together a whole series of one shots, I just want to game with my friends. So it's not the campaign. It's not what we really want to do, but we could still do something.
Have a side game going. There's nothing to say.
That's the sad thing is we have four.
You have four side
games? Four different GMs.
So what I was going to suggest, which I still think is a good idea, except for the cursed group over here, is, you know, it's the same players. Again, same time, same place, same location, consistency, all that. Same players. But there's nothing to say that because you are playing in a role-playing game, you can't have two going on at the same time. You have one as your primary game. This is what everybody shows up for. Your primary game is why everyone shows up and what everyone's pumped and raring to play. But if you're missing one or two players, you have an ongoing, lighter game that's maybe more episodic. I mean, say you're playing something like really intense. Say you're playing a Vampire the Masquerade game, and it's very intense, and it's very political, and it's very deep, and people have like pages and pages and pages of background story. Who's to say that you can't play a Star Trek game? Now, Star Trek, it could be really light. It could be, you're playing Kirk era. You got green Orion slave women, and you got nothing deep going on. And it's adventure of the week, but it's just
deep.
It's just a very episodic game. You have that week's episode. You know, two people can't make it. Let's play Star Trek and let's go kill some Klingons.
The only downside to that is we've tried it a few times and it's ended up becoming the new game. Something that was intended to be our side game.
Yeah.
Because I mean, in our Sunday group, this has happened twice that I can think of, where for some reason or another, the regular GM wasn't able to consistently come run. So we created side game. And the side game ended up becoming the new campaign. And the old one died on the vine.
Yeah.
The scheduling thing that you just laid out, Chad, that's exactly what we do in our current group. And we had the problem similar to what Wayne mentioned, where we had the consistency going. So our day was Sunday, always starting at 4 o'clock. The time was set. The people were set. We were good to go. But we got into game creep where, let's try this D&D 5e. Oh, let's try this other D&D 5e because maybe somebody might not be there. So, okay, let's start something else. I wasn't able to make it. Okay, well, let's play L5R. And soon we had this library of RPGs that had started and they weren't going anywhere. And so finally we had to sit down and say, look, we need to narrow it down to two. And so one GM can do it for 2 weeks, and then the other GM takes over and does it for the next 2 weeks. And then set up those rules saying, if one person's gone, we still continue the game. But if two people are gone, then we fall back to board games. And that's just our default is board games. And so once we finally, settled the down, that's what we have now been able to do. And I think, even though we've had to put some of those games aside, which we're enjoying the other ones, I think, more because we're finally getting some consistency. You're getting in touch. You're getting back in touch with these characters that you have. And, we're finally actually making some progress and enjoying all those things that you get mechanically enjoyment out of in an RPG. And we're much better off for it. Even though you feel a little bit of that kind of sadness, is like, oh, I was really having fun playing 5e and I want to do that again, but we all decided, nope, we're going to play DCC, this is what we're going to go do, and we'll get back to that stuff later. It's not going to go anywhere. We can always pick it up at a later date.
One thing with the online group we've done is we look for holidays as well. Something like a Labor Day, a President's Day, a 4th of July, and we'll schedule maybe twice our normal gaming time on that day, not taking up the whole day, but taking up maybe a little bit more than we would normally do because everybody has that day off of work.
Yeah.
That helps from the professional standpoint of, we're all less likely to get that call.
Yeah. But if you think about it, there's 365 days in a year and there's probably between, depending on where you work, 10 to 15 days like that. In a year. And of those 10 to 15, three of them I could think of off the top of my head, you're not going to get away from your family. So even then,
it's something you look forward to.
But yeah.
Like we planned in December that for President's Day, which I think was in February, we would game on President's Day. So we looked forward to that for a couple months as we had mixed games in and out throughout that time period. We knew that come that day, we were going to have a longer game time, and I actually didn't even get the day off. So I took a vacation day because I've got it. Why not?
Yeah.
Am I going to use my vacation day to save up till the end of the year and try to find days to put it in? Or am I going to use it to have fun with my friends?
Yeah.
It was well worth a vacation day for me to do those.
That's why I love working at a bank. We get weird days off that nobody else gets off. And usually Pat's wife, Beth, she works for a financial as well. And so she gets these days off. And we're like, man, there's nothing to do. Everybody's at work. And we're like, let's go someplace really good for lunch. And then take pictures of lunch and make everyone feel bad. You're like, yeah.
So I think it all boils down to, what do you want to get out of gaming?
Right.
I know a lot of people on the boards have always just told us, if you don't like a game, just set out that game. Or if
why would I want to? Yeah.
Yeah. Or yeah, if I
always think that's terrible advice because of the why I game and how I game. I game with my friends.
Yeah.
And I love my friends and I want to spend time with you guys.
Yeah. Well, and for a lot of people, they can just go out there and grab a new batch of people whose schedules work better. And I think that all boils down to some groups game for different reasons than other groups. For some people, it is getting the really good game in.
Yeah.
I think for...
It's not about being with friends or even people you necessarily know.
Or maybe they're social enough that they want to make new friends from it.
Yeah.
For me, gaming is something that I do with the friends I already have established. Mm-hmm. I do like going to cons and meeting new people and doing games there. And I've done Pathfinder Society, which was going in and meeting new people.
Yeah.
The most fun I have is, you know, spending time with my friends, though, mm-hmm. and having sidebar conversations before it or yeah. during it. Or it's a socializing thing. It's not about the game itself.
Mm-hmm. You know, for our Sunday group, that's the way it is for me, too. It's like, even on the days when, you know, maybe we're going to be down a person or whatever, I still want to get together. Or, you know, if the GM just doesn't really feel like running the mm-hmm. game, it's like, I still want us to come over. Hey, we'll just do board games or whatever, yeah. because it's a social interaction. It's a, mm-hmm. It's a time to see your friends and to interact with them socially. That's the biggest part of it for me.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully it's going to, you know, I'm going to get the best of both worlds. I'm going to get yeah. to socialize and I'm going to have a great game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it's, you know, sometimes it's just the socialization, that's what I want too.
Yeah.
Socializing.
It used to be the thing that I would go and do with the guys outside of the wife.
And then anymore. You screw that one up.
Yeah,
we all did, didn't we?
Yeah, now we all have brought our wives yeah. into the same yeah. group. Yeah. And
we're 50-50.
It's not that. But
it's three couples, 50-50.
Yep.
It was cool when it was the time away from the wife going and hanging with the guys, but it's different. It's a different kind of cool now having all of the couples there.
Yeah.
And it's something to talk about.
Yeah.
Outside of gaming, during the course of the week, Dawn and I talk about the characters and you guys and the game and all that sort of stuff throughout the course of the week.
You probably talk on the drive home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know we do.
No, we sit in stony silence and hate each other quietly.
We always talk about the game on the way home. And
yeah.
it is really difficult for me when I'm running a game. Because it's like, okay, well, I can't talk too much about the game because I don't want to give things away.
Yeah.
If I'm not running the game and we're both playing, it's a lot easier to have those conversations.
That's true.
You know, back in the day before the podcast, I worked at Deerberg's and everybody who was in my gaming group worked at Deerberg's.
Mm.
And we all, you know, we had different schedules and different shifts and stuff. It was hard, but it wasn't back then. It was hard because we all had different schedules and whatnot, but it was really easy because we had so much free time.
Yeah.
I mean, we were going to college. It's weird. You go to college full time. I did 16 hours of classes at college. I did a 40-hour work week. I was married, but I had more free time. And it isn't kids, right? It could be very easy. Oh, well, you had Sky, so, you know, all your time's taken up with kids. Like, you know, when they reach a certain age, pretty self-sufficient, but I had more free time back then.
I
wouldn't want to go back to it for sure, but
yeah, I look the same thing. We don't have kids and still
yeah.
I had more free time earlier in my career, and it's not even just work.
Yeah,
it's now at this point I have a house.
Mm-hmm.
So I have things I want to do around the house. I have projects I want to work on, and there's all these other going on.
You know, Minecraft castles are not going to build themselves.
That's true.
I don't think I'd want to go back to that. I like the life that I have now. I have less time, but it's more ordered and it's more structured and it's more consistent, because back then we just got together whenever we could and we would game for a really long time. And I remember when I was a teenager too, we would have these all night sessions where we would game for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And then the sun would come up. And we would all leave my one friend's house and we would walk around the neighborhood, and we were right by the Mississippi River, and we would go to the cliff's edge and watch the sunrise over the Mississippi River Valley. And it was beautiful. And then we would talk about, we would solve the world's problems and talk about life and talk about all sorts of things. And then we would slowly walk back, and then we would make some coffee or grab some snacks, and then we would game for a few more hours until we just couldn't stay awake anymore.
So have you noticed any difference in the amount of time you want to, the yes. amount of time you want to spend gaming for different types of games? Because like for me, when I look at it, an in-person game on Sunday, I like how we do it now where mm-hmm. we game in a chunk, we stop and eat dinner, and then we game yeah. more. We don't always game more when we come back, and sometimes it doesn't always work out mm-hmm. right with that, but I enjoy that.
Yeah.
An online game, I tend to prefer it being only a two-hour game.
Mm. So face-to-face, we go from 2 to 10 with an hour break. Obviously, it doesn't work yeah. out like that, but that's roughly what it would be. So
we go from 2 to 10 and we start at 4.
Yeah. But the ideal is going from 2 to 10 with an hour break. So that's what, 7 hours?
Yeah, and we don't ever actually do that. So no. We usually won't start until like 4, and then we'll game a little bit, and then we'll do more than an hour for dinner.
But we have such a large chunk there with our 7-8 hour stretch that we can afford to spend the time to be very relaxed. And we game every week. A lot of people don't game every week. And so when they game like once a month or once a quarter, they really have to, defend that time. I mean, going back to when I was a teenager, God, looking at the math, we probably game 16 hours. That was like one session. Yeah. And I loved it. I had fun. I never want to go back to that ever. I never want to do that ever again. If I become an ultra multi-billionaire, I'm like, Warren Buffett levels of just money. And I just give all of my friends, here's $100 million. I don't want you to work anymore, so we could just travel the world and role play and do whatever we want. I would still never do that.
See, and I never experienced it, so I would love to have...
You had backyard wrestling, though.
It was basement.
Basement. I'm sorry.
It was in the basement.
True.
But yeah,
the shame mint.
I would love to experience more games. Because you know me, I like trying all these different styles of games. I would love to have a couple different games going at any given time. But I would love to be able to do it more spontaneously. So, everyone like on Monday sends an email, hey, let's get together Thursday and do this.
I'm down.
Or something. And
I'm down. Do it. Send that email.
I still would do the marathon.
If you think you're going to call me on my send that email. I'll show up.
I still would do the marathon sessions because I've done that up until recently, 2 or 3 years ago, but it wasn't all the time. It
was right.
Maybe once a quarter I could get a chance to go and see some friends and do that. Mm-hmm. And then I'd spend, basically spend the weekend gaming. That was the plan. And that's what we do. I enjoyed it and I'd still enjoy it. I would still do it now if I had the ability to do it. I just really don't because of, like all we talked about, schedules. I don't have that amount of free time to give up.
That's what Fear the Con is for us, though.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, Fear the Con it gives you that 2 full days really to sort of game. Now you're doing a bunch of different games, but still it's gaming for 2 solid days. And yeah, I would love to be able to have that again. Just every once in a while I have a weekend where I go and do that, but it's few and far between anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week. I hope you guys got something out of this. I mean, of course you did. Now you know how to play superheroes.
That's right.
And you know how and when to play them. So with that being said, go out there and try to carve out some time and play a superhero correctly.
Yeah. Maybe we'll tell you how to play a pirate correctly next time. You guys have been screwing it up for years.
Oh, my God. Have they ever?
And if you can't find time, you can come to Fear the Con and do it there.
Segue. And if you can't come to Fear the Con, you can always sit in your house alone, crying, reading your copy of Sojourn with bolt holes in it.
That's true. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh,
good episode.
After you shut it.
All right. Well, you guys have good games and a good week, and we'll catch you next time.
I feel dirty.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2015. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.